Well, let's go back to Luke and chapter 17. This is our theme, Hearts Full of Thankfulness. Lots of things you can't speak about in a year, but this is the one that I'm going to speak about. I'm not going to tell you make New Year's resolutions, because you won't keep them. I explained that yesterday morning, actually. Just because of your human nature, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work to make resolutions. You need something more than resolutions. Resolutions are just laws, and laws are broken easily. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need His power in our lives, and we need to love with the love of God in our hearts. So, hearts full of thankfulness. We'll just read part of what we read a minute ago. So one of the 10 lepers, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now often the story is, probably usually the story is told and spoken about to encourage thankfulness. And of course that's right. But you can't switch thankfulness on. You can't say, "Oh, today I'm going to be thankful." Because your spirit's going to be the same as it, it is anyway. You might feign thankfulness, you might act thankfulness, but it's what your spirit is. That is the key thing. You need a change in spirit if you're going to really be thankful and thankful towards God. So what we're seeing this man is it's not just that he went back to Jesus and said thank you. It wasn't just like he did the polite thing. Because we see him there praising God in a loud voice. He is really pouring something out from his heart and throwing himself at Jesus' feet and thanking him. Now, there is something much, much deeper than just going back and saying, "Ta very much," to Jesus. This man has got something in his spirit that is gushing from him. That spirit of thankfulness is what we want to try and understand and perhaps capture for ourselves if we don't have it, and increase it in ourselves if we do. So this man is not making resolutions. He's not just sort of doing the decorous thing. He is pouring out from his heart something rich, something full. And it's really a desire for the glory of Jesus. It's an appreciation of a person and the work of Jesus Christ. So, starting the story, we've got 10 lepers. They had leprosy, not as we understand it, as I explain, some kind of skin disease. And there was a mixture in the group of 10. Obviously, there was a Samaritan and maybe more than one, and there were Jewish people as well. We can tell that from the way Jesus speaks. When he says, that the only one that returned was not of his own race, was a foreigner, of another nation, is what the word literally means. He wasn't one of us, Jews. And so he's addressing the Jewish people all around him and saying, the only one, do you notice this? He's saying, the only one that came back was a Samaritan. And Jesus' attitude to Samaritans was totally different to his people's attitude to Samaritans. And what he wants to do here is he wants to change his people's attitude to Samaritans so that they will love Samaritans as he loves Samaritans. But back to the situation of the 10, they were sharing a common misery together. And the misery not just of their disease, which might not actually have been severe in any way. They might have just looked that their skin wasn't healthy. They might be perfectly fit and able to work, but they had to do it all in isolation. Everything they had to do was in isolation from people, from community, from family, from home, from their villages. And that was the greatest hardship for many of those who had what is called leprosy here. So they had this past life where they had been at home. They had shared the community. They had shared the family life. They had all the wealth of riches that we have in being able to come together for them in their synagogues or to the temple and for all the occasions, of their faith. But now it was taken away just because maybe some blotches had appeared on their skin. Just because their skin was no longer healthy. They weren't allowed any longer to remain with their people in case what they had was contagious and passed on to others. And so they were excluded. They were outcasts. And everything that they'd had was taken away from them in terms of their community. The community that they had remaining was just the community of the outcasts. The 10 living together, perhaps with others, and trying to make ends meet themselves, perhaps finding ways of growing their own crops and housing themselves, perhaps depending on the charity that came from the synagogues and the temple. But it was a hard, hard thing to be in that position. So they were all in that same boat. They were all the same. But were they all the same? Because one of them turns out to be different. One of them turns out to have a different heart. Perhaps it is that the other 9 feel in a sense that they deserve help. Let me ask that question of you. Do you think that you deserve help? That you've got a right to help? I think most people do. Especially in the privileged situation we're in today of having a very effective health service. And that's what the 9 were like. But there was one man who knew that anything that he had was a gift. Have you got that attitude to your health? God will take your health away at some point, probably. Are you just going to be thinking, I should be healthy? I want it back. Or are you going to realize that instead, when you had health, it was a gift you didn't deserve? That's the difference between the 9 and the 1. So as they went on their way, they were cleansed. All 10 were cleansed, Jesus says. They all had the same healing. And they set off, of course, in a sense, in a way of faith in Jesus' words. They weren't healed when they set off to go to the temple. And incidentally, we don't know, you know, the Samaritan would be going to the temple. The Samaritans had it at Mount Gerizim. The Samaritans only used the first 5 books of what we'd call the Old Testament, the books of Moses. And of course the Jews had all the books of the Old Testament and a great deal more revelation of God, and they worshipped in the temple in Jerusalem. But wherever they were going, when they were going to go to their priests, they weren't healed, so they had in a sense all got some kind of faith, maybe something was going to happen. And they went in faith and obedience. It's a good way to go. And I hope we go into 2024 with that faith and that obedience towards God, because you just don't know what miracles, what wonders can happen when we do that. But where is life found? Is life found in rituals or in Jesus? Because when the 10 were cleansed, 9 of them went for the rituals. And only one of them went for Jesus. It's about your heart. It's not about just doing things. It's about what's in your heart. Your love for the person of Jesus. That's where life is. Life is not in just doing the rituals. We must watch that, both in terms of going to church and in terms of our own personal readings and prayers and so on. Life is found in Jesus Christ. So, here's a picture. I don't know how well, how clearly you can see it. This is just the moment someone's captured. The 10 lepers, they're all looking at themselves and their skin is clean and clear and they're all off to the temple. But you see that one man there. He's just, well, what about Jesus? It's a good place to be in. What about Jesus? Is that something in your heart? Daily, you know, I have health, I have a home, I have a family, I have a community, I have a church. And they're all rushing off to the rituals. But there's one man that thinks, wait a minute, I've got the life already. I don't need the rituals. I've got Jesus. And his home in him. You can just see that. What about Jesus? It's a beautiful moment, that, isn't it? If you can just have that sense of, you know, look what I've got. This just can be in your heart. Look what I've got. And he's not, you know, he's not celebrating winning the lottery. He's not celebrating something that you and I don't have. He's celebrating something that we all have. And he's saying, what about Jesus? I've got health. I can go back home now. I can live in my community now. These are things we have. What about Jesus? Do you feel your heart turning that way all the time? Ah, oh, it's amazing. I can go home and put the kettle on. What about Jesus? Thank you, Lord, that I can do that. And that very simple sense of gratitude. Only one of them turned back. And let's just go back to the passage. And Jesus is pained by that. Because he's surrounded. We know he's traveling the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he's surrounded by people. And he asked them the question. And the Samaritan came back. What about the rest? Did they not think about the giver, the healer, the saviour, the Lord? But did they just go for the rituals? Did they not want life? Life's not found at the temple doing the rituals. That's all past. I've come. Life's found in me. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. What about Jesus? Turning towards him. Jesus is pained by this. And these 9, well, their skin's healed, but they remain sick. Health is not everything. We often say that, don't we? It's good to have health, but it's not everything. Many of the most alive people are sick. By the standards of the world, they're poor. But by the standards of Jesus, they're rich. These people, these 9, are sick in heart. But they have, the one is alive in heart. He may be healthy, But he has Jesus. He's alive. You know, just thinking about your life, after all that God gave you in 2023, are you changed? Has your heart turned towards Jesus more and more? And have you looked to him more and more? And in the year ahead, is that what's going to happen? What do you think about what you have now? Maybe you're not content. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, this is going to be the year where I'm going to buy this. And I'm going to have this experience. And I'm going to do this adventure. And I'm going to get, because I haven't got enough. That's a sick heart. If you have got enough already, really, I guess most, not all of you have got enough. See, this man here, he's not got anything more than you've got. In fact, he's got a lot less. But now, what he's got is a home and a family again. And a church. And of his kind in the Samaritan religion. He's got a community. He's got a social life. You've got these things, haven't you? And he's thankful. He is so thankful. And the challenge here then is for us not to follow the world into its discontent, because the world is a place of seething discontent and increasing discontent. Because everyone's breaking the commandment, you shall not covet. Everyone wants what they see other people having. They want that holiday. They want that home. They want that place in the country or whatever it is. And this one man is so thankful that he has what you already have. He doesn't even have that. And he couldn't put the kettle on. Well, we've got kettles and we've got electricity and running water and all the benefits of modern life on top of what he had. But he's so thankful. Can we be thankful for what we have? And not be discontent because we don't have something that someone else has. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, as we did. Give us this day our daily cake. We don't pray that, do we? Just bread. Just to have what we need for basic existence. I guess if Jesus had come to Lough Arsh, the sky, he might have prayed for a bit of warmth as well, plenty of clothes, plenty to wrap up in, and a roof over our heads, because climate's not so kind here as it is in the Middle East. But even there, it can be bad. But we have these things, and he was thankful for having the things that we already have. Can you see this? But what do you think about what other people have? Something very clever in the way that, there is something very clever in the way that Luke tells this story. He gets us to really buy into this one man. He pulls us right into this one man. And he takes us along, and we see this one man coming by. He's praising God, and we're thinking, this is a good guy. This is a really good guy. He's throwing himself at Jesus' feet in thankfulness. And we're right with him. And we're so identifying with this man as the hero of the story, apart from Jesus, of course. The hero of the story. And then Luke drops his bombshell. And he was a Samaritan. As far as the Jews were concerned, the problem with this man wasn't his leprosy. It was his race. He was an outcast because he was a Samaritan. Is there someone that you would rather wasn't blessed in 2024? Have you got people out there? Might be your next door neighbour. Might be someone in your family who's just made life hard. Might be someone in the community. might be on the world stage, you might be getting waded into your opinion on the war in Gaza and the rights and wrongs of the different sides, or Ukraine and leaders involved in that. Is there anyone you'd rather wasn't blessed? Do you have any Samaritans in your life? Well, if we judge other people and put them in the outcast slot in our brains, that we'd rather not that Jesus bless them, please, in our brains, then remember this. Jesus only blesses outcasts. These are the only kind of people he blesses. Jesus only blesses Samaritans. He only blesses people who know themselves to be lepers, who know themselves to be morally indefensible and corrupt before Jesus. Jesus only blesses the tax collectors and the sinners. Jesus only blesses people who know themselves to be outcasts from God. Jesus only blesses these kind of people. Anyone that comes, you know, like stands on the street corner and says, "I thank you that I'm not like other men," Jesus says, "I'm sorry, your heart's not in the right place. What you need to have is a heart that comes before me and says, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a Samaritan. I'm a leper. I'm an outcast. I'm a whatever that person is that you think isn't worthy of God's blessing.'" If you're the person that judges people and makes them outcasts, you're placing yourself in the position of not being an outcast, of being one of the good guys. And you're placing yourself outside of the place where Jesus will bless you if you're like that. That's why he's so grieved and pained in this story. Was no one found? Because in his heart he's weeping over Jerusalem. In his heart he's weeping over the fact that his own people think they're good enough. They don't think they're outcasts. They don't think they're Samaritans. They think they're better than that. And they think that they're entitled, they're deserving. They're born in the right place to the right people. And God owes them a favor. That's what they're thinking in their hearts, these Samaritans, these Jews. And he's weeping in his heart. He's weeping in his heart over these people. Do we have that in our hearts? Do we have that sense that actually we're the outcasts and we come to Jesus in need, like the Samaritan and the others did, pleading for mercy? Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve daily bread. We don't deserve to have a home and a family and a community and a church. We don't deserve these things. But God in his grace is willing to give them to us through Jesus. So, we sang a minute ago in Psalm 124. And that sense of being a free bird, being able to get out of the cage and be free. Have you experienced that in your life? That sense of, God has set me free. Jesus has done wonderful things for me. This is what the leper has here in being healed by Jesus. There's that in his heart. I was a caged bird. He set me free to go back to my family. He set me free to share the blessings of community. He set me free to go and worship the Lord again. What a beautiful thing. You know, the ritual the other guys were going to go back to involved two birds. One of them was killed over water, and its blood would drip into the water. And the other bird was dipped in the bloody water, and it was taken out to the field and set free. It was a ritual that encapsulates the cross, in a sense. It encapsulates that Jesus has to be killed for us. but that because we are dipped in his blood, we are free. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. So let's bring this all together. What's in our hearts today? Because we've gone looking to try and understand what's happening in the Samaritan's heart. We've found a heart set free. We found the heart of a man who knows himself truly to be an outcast, not because of his skin condition, but because of his need of God's mercy, and because he doesn't deserve anything. And so when he gets the blessing, he goes and says thank you with a full heart. This is a man who is a man to want to be like in 2024. I don't know what the disciples thought of all of this, because you know the disciples were Jews. They had the same prejudices. Remember James and John when the village didn't receive Jesus? Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them all up? These nasty, horrible Samaritans. That was where they began their journey with Jesus. Have you gone further than that? Because what happened was that Jesus got these disciples on a few occasions in the Gospels to stay among the Samaritans. The woman at the well, remember, they went back and stayed in her village. And he began to take them on that journey of loving the outcast. And he said to them after he'd risen, you know, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And a little time after that, Philip, the evangelist, went to Samaria, and God blessed the Samaritans. They received Jesus Christ. Some of them had already done that through Jesus' own ministry. And when the church in Jerusalem heard that, hearts were changing that. They sent Peter and John. Remember John sent fire from heaven on these Samaritans. Peter and John went off up to Samaria and they laid their hands on Samaritans. And they found the Samaritans received Jesus and received the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John thought, they're not any different to us. They're just the same as us. And maybe then they began to see the people we thought were the outcasts, they're just like us. We are outcasts too. And this is where we need to be in 2024. Because at the end of the journey that we're looking at here, where you think other people are outcasts, at the end of the journey, you come to see, I'm the outcast. I'm the undeserving one. I'm the one who needs Jesus. And when you've really, really got into that place of seeing that, and realizing you're just one of a world full of outcasts, a world full of lepers, a world full of Samaritans, a world full of sinners, a world full of people just like yourself, and you're just like them, and the people you think are the worst in the world, you're just like them yourself. The people you think are the wasters, and the people who are spongers, and you're one of them. You too are a waster in God's world, a sponger, someone who thinks you're entitled. Because you haven't fallen on your face before Jesus this morning, probably, and said thank you for a square meal, a breakfast, or for a home, or for my family, or for my community. Where we need to be, if we're going to be like this leper then, is not making a New Year's resolution saying, I must be more thankful. We need to be on our faces before Jesus. as outcasts, coming again and again and again to him, saying, Lord, were it not for you and your grace today and tomorrow and the next day and through 2024, were it not for you, I would never ever have anything. I wouldn't have anything at all. I wouldn't even have come into existence were it not for you. I wouldn't have made it out of the womb were it not for you. I wouldn't have been able to grow up. I wouldn't have had a family. I wouldn't have had a community. I wouldn't have had an education. I wouldn't have had health. I wouldn't have had anything were it not for you. I need you for everything. Jesus, if you give me anything, I'm so grateful, because I'm an outcast. I'm a leper. I'm a Samaritan. I'm far away from God. Far, far from God. Only you bring me back to God. And oh, Jesus, if you did that for me, will you do it for him too? Will you do it for her? Oh, Jesus, I want to go and tell these people about what a wonderful friend to outcasts you are, because of what you've done for me. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. This is the heart of the leper, the one man who came back and gave thanks to Jesus. That is the heart that you and I need to seek for this year. This year of 2024. And so, one final picture. That's where you need to be. And that's where I need to be this year. It's the only place that we can be. At the feet of Jesus. It's the only place. If we're going to be thankful. If we're going to live lives of delight in God. If we're going to live lives where we recognize the grace of God to outcasts. That's where we need to be in 2024. We need to be at the feet of Jesus constantly. There to find life, healing, acceptance, mercy, joy, and a future. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment together. Let's pray. We bow before you, Lord. We thank you for this amazing story. We thank you, Lord, for the heart of the leper. And we pray, Lord, for hearts like that too. Having been outcast from you, that you have brought us home. Help us, Lord, to have that sense always in our hearts. Always to be free birds. Always to be delighting in what you've given us. Happy and content, peaceful, and looking out for the outcast, loving the outcast. Please give us hearts like that in this year ahead. For your glory. Amen.